Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Friday on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We got Brian Batko. We're going to look, take a more global look at the NFL as we head into the final weekend without NFL football. Are the Steelers the dark horse of the AFC, of the NFL? We'll talk about that. Who else you need to look out for in the AFC North, and some future picks here as far as who's going to be winning the awards at the end of the season. All here on the North Shore Drive podcast, brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Welcome to the North Shore Drive Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko. We're both of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Remember, you can find this show every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of your daily content from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, as well as our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive Podcast, which is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the number one bar in all of Pittsburgh. If you're out in the North Shore, if you're here checking out a concert at one of the stadiums, or you're going to a Steelers game, a Pirates game, or a Pitt game, there's no better place to go to, because it's right across the street on PNC Park, right off Federal Street, and they have over 20 televisions to check out all the games and action that you want to get in sports, and they have over 500 available beers at all times, 300 of those beers being different local beers, and 80 of those beers being on tap from the local, from our local craft selection here in the city of Pittsburgh, all here at Mike's Beer Bar. We'll have more on them later here. Brian, we got you back on the show. It's kind of an exciting time because, you know, your job is about to heat back up. I mean, you've been busy, but now you're going to get some actual games to talk about. And one of the things that people seem to be talking about across the country is that the Steelers might be the dark horse that people aren't talking about enough. But in doing that, they're talking about them all the time now.
Yeah, I mean, not only is week one rapidly approaching for the Steelers, and that's going to be a baptism by fire for a lot of guys on that team, but it's also going to be the same for me, because my wife's going to be out of town that weekend. So it's going to be mayhem at the Batco house, too. A lot of people need to step up, whether they wear black and gold or whether they wear this Chip Hammond football shirt. So
there you go.
Yeah, it's exciting for sure, and it takes me back a little bit to last year when – you know, different situation. They were opening on the road in Cincy and against a team that was coming off a Super Bowl appearance. I think a lot of people feel the 49ers will be good, but they're not. You know, this 2023 group led by Brock Purdy and his surgically repaired elbow or whatever, they're not quite on the level that the Bengals were this time a year ago. And it's just different because, you know, one's a team that you see every year, twice a year, and the other one you see, you know, every 4 years, maybe a little more frequently than that. But I still am reminded of Mike Tomlin and how he viewed the 2022 group also as a dark horse, if you want to call them that. You know, he bought them the all-black Air Force Ones that they were all encouraged to wear on that initial week one road trip, kind of with the mentality of we're gonna F some stuff up in the NFL this year.
It's Robin season, baby.
Yeah, people did not expect the Steelers to be the team, you know, messing up the balance of power in the league. that overall approach by Tomlin looked good through week one after upsetting the Bengals in overtime, but then things quickly went off the rails. So I get anybody who is believing in the hype with this team from what we've seen in the preseason, but I also understand anybody who has some hesitancy and is coming at it from the angle of, look, we've heard this before. We had a very similar tag or label on us last year that we could be a dark horse, and it didn't happen. So I'm just so eager for the games to get here and for the preseason to be forgotten about and for Kenny Pickett and company to prove themselves worthy of being the real thing. Because you're right, Chris, there are a lot of people from outside of Western Pennsylvania who seem to be starting to buy into this team and what they can do.
One thing we remind you guys here, when we're brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, they've sponsored this podcast and a lot of our work here on the podcast network of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We want to remind you that with all their beers, they have an amazing selection. One thing we're going to start doing on Fridays is going over the best flight that you can get, and that's from their brewery of the month, and that's Union Brothers Brewing, where one of the beers that you can get in a flight that I really suggest is the Short Break Pale Ale. It's a pale ale, New England style, from Harmony, Pennsylvania, 4.7 ABV, and it is a nice pale ale, great for any part of the year. I love this kind. This is kind of me and Brian's style of beer. We actually had this before once together, and it was rather enjoyable. But one thing we're going to do throughout our Friday episodes, we're going to show you the different ranges of all the beers that are here at Mike's Beer Bar. So that's one thing there with Union Brothers Short Break Pale Ale. Get that here when you go to Mike's, where over 500 beers are available. Brian, I want to ask you, what is the S? Because normally when you talk about a dark horse team, there is a part of that team, whether it's the Steelers or, you know, the Jaguars last year, or there's a part of that team that everyone is excited to see expand upon. And then obviously for the Steelers, that's the offense. But the defense is still the commanding part of this team. T.J. Watt is back healthy. Minkah Fitzpatrick's still there. Cam Hayward's still there. Is this going to be a team that's still led heavily by its defense, or do you see this more as a balanced team going into the year, where the defense, they may not rank in the top five, but they'll probably rank in the top 10, and the offense will be a little closer to that than they were last year, whereas they ranked 26th?
They need to be more balanced, obviously, and I still need to see it before I believe it with the offensive consistency. So I tend to think this is going to be a unit or a team that is defined by its defensive unit, and they'll kind of go as far as Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, and Minkah Fitzpatrick can take them. I think the recipe is going to be much like what they were winning with down the stretch last season, ball control on offense and smothering teams on defense. But obviously, the thinking here is the offense is going to be better in year two with Pickett, and you don't have to just sit on the ball and control the time of possession and win the clock. You should be able to put some points up too, if that's the way that you need to win. So I just think that the dark horse moniker, if you will, if people are bestowing that upon the Steelers, has to do with mainly Kenny Pickett being at the helm of things. I mean, in his own division, he's probably the least well-known quarterback to the casual football fan, even in the AFC as a conference. I don't know that there are many passers with, I guess, less intrigue or less of a big name than him. Jimmy Garoppolo at this point in his career, I think, kind of just is who he is. I'm trying to think of even the rookies, C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, like they've got a lot of hype on them, just the fact that they are high first-round picks. So Kenny Pickett's just kind of that middle-ground guy. Steady, solid, unspectacular to the outside world. But if he can flip that and be more of somebody who elevates the team around him, then that's where I think you see this team being able to make some noise that that wasn't initially anticipated from them before the preseason.
Let me tell you guys why I do think that there's actually a strong likelihood that something like that happens, is because this was a team last year that finished 9-8 with T.J. Watt missing 2 months, with an offensive line that didn't really figure out how to block until the second half of the season, with a rookie quarterback in Kenny Pickett who didn't even start to figure out how to just hang in there for a game until the second half of the season. And they still finished with a winning record. And that was dealing with a lot of adversity, a lot of different problems. Najee Harris starting the season unhealthy. Even Alex Highsmith was banged up going into the early part of the year. This year, unless T.J. Watt goes down for another 2 months, they'll have him healthy. Kenny Pickett's a lot sharper than he was this time last year, and even at the end of last year. I really think this is a team that when they go up against opponents right now, Brian, they're still going to have that defense that gives them fits. They'll still get after the quarterback, Alex Highsmith, TJ Watt, and then you even have Nick Herbig and Marcus Golden, who I'd say would be better than any of the backups they had last year coming off the edge. And then you still have Cam Hayward. You still have Minkah Fitzpatrick. You've added Patrick Peterson and Joey Porter Jr. to Levi Wallace there in the secondary. Your linebackers look better than they did last year. This just speaks to me like a team in the Steelers that can do more damage than last year. And if their offense does put up more points, let's say they go from scoring 18 points a game to 25 points a game, 26 points a game, this becomes a team that I think wins more games and wins more games comfortably, because they won a ton of games, almost all but one of their games they won by a single possession last year. That's not something you can do consistently.
Yeah, that's tough to sustain. That's one area where I have some concern about this team is regression in terms of those close games. I think that's part of what Mike Tomlin gives you as a head coach, but you're right. You can't always count on the ball bouncing your way when it's a 1 point, 2 point, 3 point result. The other nice thing, though, is the schedule. You mentioned it. I think it's a little lighter this year than it was last season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there are any unwinnable games or games that are even like, I can envision them being able to beat every team on the schedule that they play. And at the same time, I think there are a few that are gimmies, layups, or very close to it when you look at the Texans, the Cardinals, and I certainly don't like the vibes coming out of Indy right now. Granted, the Steelers will play them later in the season when maybe they've figured out the Jonathan Taylor situation to some degree and Anthony Richardson could be rolling.
Absolutely. I want to talk about some of the AFC North teams, though. We'll do that on the other side of this first break here on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. But first, I want to remind you guys that this show is sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, which is my favorite beer bar in all of Pittsburgh and the best bar in all of Pittsburgh, because they offer over 500 different available beers at any point in time. 300 of them are being local beers, and then 80 of those local beers you can get right on tap here at the bar behind me as I'm here at Mike's right now. Now, full putting everything out that this is a Thursday morning show recording that we're doing here for our Friday show, so it's before like the afternoon crowd gets here for a concert. But Mike's is the premier spot to be if you're coming here and if you're coming to Pittsburgh, you're going to be in the North Shore. This is the place you want to be. They have an amazing food options on top of all their drinks options. You can come here if you want. If you ever had steak on a stone, you're going to enjoy it. If you haven't had it, you're missing out, because their steak on a stone option gives you a steak cut of your choice that they put on a heated stone. All you have to do is cut a piece off of the steak, press it into the stone, and you can cook it to whatever degree you like your steak. Rare, medium rare, medium well, anything you like, you can do right in front of you, on top of having the amazing selection of beer that you never seem to run out of options with all the beers, and they're always rotating new ones in, so you will never get bored of the beer selection here at Mike's Beer Bar, where they also have over 20 televisions. So even if you're not in for a game, you just want to enjoy a day of sports, college football's back this weekend, come into Mike's Beer Bar, over 20 televisions. They have all the different channels. They're going to be able to put your game on so you can follow your team, whether that's an NFL team, a college football team, Pirates, Penguins, Riverhounds, or even Premier League action. Mike's Beer Bar has it all. So come into Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in Pittsburgh, and when you get here, tell them that Chris sent you. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, I'm Chris Carter. He's Brian Batko. Brian, let's talk about the AFC North a little bit, because when you look at the future bets, the Steelers are the least favorite there. They have the toughest odds if you want to bet on them right now, or I guess the best odds as far as if you wanted to make money off of a division winner. But I think I saw the last time it was like plus 470 for them to win a division. So
the lowest win total over under too, right? At 8.5.
Eight and a half, yes. And when you look at that and you say, okay, Vegas is looking at the Steelers like they could be the last place team. So, the betting odds aren't seeing the Steelers as the dark horse, but the Browns, the Bengals, and the Ravens, a lot of people are talking about this could be the most competitive division in the NFL. You look at the quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, who was seen back in pads, practicing in full pads and looking pretty healthy after his preseason scare just about a month ago. Lamar Jackson, who's got a new offensive coordinator and looks like he's back in action this year. And Deshaun Watson, who this will be his first full season without any suspensions, playing for the Cleveland Browns. A lot of people are saying that Kenny Pickett is going to not stand up with these types of quarterbacks. How do you see this AFC North stacking up against each other this season?
Yeah, if it's not the AFC North, it's the toughest quartet in football. It's probably the AFC East with the Patriots, Bills, Dolphins, and Jets. But I think there are even more question marks in that division than there are in the Steelers' own division. So for my money, the AFC North is the best from top to bottom, the deepest. It's got star power leading the way at all the quarterback spots, really, for the most part. You know, we'll see if Kenny Pickett ascends to that level. But, yeah, I mean, it's always tricky when you're trying to gauge what the Browns are going to be. I'll start with them. Like, you know, the on-paper roster looks good, but we've said that time and time again, and things always seem to go sideways on Cleveland, except for that 2020 playoff game against the Steelers in the wild card round. That was like, it almost seemed like it was their moment in the sun. And ever since then, things have been downhill a little bit after they tried, you know, a valiant effort, but couldn't quite knock off the Chiefs that year. Since then, the Baker Mayfield experiment has crashed and burned. And now the Deshaun Watson era is not going too well either. But I still think there's a chance that Kevin Stefanski could get that group figured out and they could use all that talent at their disposal to be good. Then you look at the Ravens. I feel like they're the opposite. Sometimes they don't have big names, and John Harbaugh and his coaching staff just find a way to get a lot out of them. Obviously, it's going to come down to Lamar Jackson and how he looks after an injury-plagued season, big, shiny new contract. What does he do with their new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, who, you know, he'll have his chance to put his own fingerprints on what they do after Greg Roman made them such a run-heavy and dangerous rushing group. And then, you know, the Bengals, I'm not going to bet against Joe Burrow. That's just not, that does not sound like a good time to me. He may have a down year eventually, but I won't be the one predicting it because all he's done is just throw lasers and be an absolute stud for a franchise that needed it. So I don't know where the Steelers are going to end up falling. You know, I tend to think that, you know, they just have better aura around them than the Browns. But, you know, pound for pound, I think all these teams are very much on the same level playing field, and it's going to come down to quarterback play, which is why there is so much pressure on Kenny Pickett in year two.
I agree that there is a pressure there, and again, the talent around the AFC North is going to be interesting. I have to say, though, I believe in Joe Burrow as a quarterback and what they're doing in Cincinnati.
But
I was going through the levels of the division.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson, I believe in his talent. I want to see how they use his talent. I think that he's still a dangerous quarterback whenever he's on the field. They've added Odell Beckham Jr. I really like Zay Flowers, the guy out of Boston College they drafted. I've covered him in the ACC. He's fantastic. Them
he was on my college football fantasy team last year. A lot of points.
He is really electric. He's going to be a problem for people to cover. So you add that with Mark Andrews, they could have a passing threat. The Browns don't see it. I'm sorry. They had very much the same team last year. They've swapped in, I think, Dalvin Tomlinson on the defensive line, and they'll have Za'Darius Smith over Jadeveon Clowney at the edge to the other side of Myles Garrett. But I think that this is a very similar group. They traded away a ton of picks just to get Deshaun Watson. They're kind of wrapped up in this. I think they're very much the same team as they were last year. And if they are the same team, this is a better Steelers team. Like, objectively on paper, as long as they don't suffer major injuries, this Steelers team should be better than them at least. And that's why I have the Browns finishing last in this division this year. But the Ravens and the Bengals, man, this could be – I really see this being a three-way dogfight all season long between who can finish out on top of this, but he's also fighting for those wild card spots, which is going to be a highly contentious situation in the AFC. Like you said, the AFC East is going to be tough. I don't think they have to worry too much about the South, but you never know with the AFC West, because the Chargers with Justin Herbert, they could poke their heads up this year. I think the Raiders are in for a down year, but you know, you can always count on the Chiefs to make it as long as Patrick Mahomes is over there. But it's going to be an interesting back and forth between some of these teams, and these divisional games for the Steelers are going to be crucial when they're trying to figure out the pecking order for who's going to get what seed in the playoffs if they're going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I know when it comes to the Ravens, a lot of Steelers fans are optimistic in that they've had Lamar Jackson's number over the years, and that's true to an extent, but I mean, I just think that there's only so much you can do to solve a player who's as dynamic as he is at that position. And if you're going to kind of use that as a crutch to be, you know, optimistic about the Steelers in that particular matchup twice a year, then you've kind of got to acknowledge the Bengals have had the Steelers number. So You know, that's very much a double-edged sword when you go to that well. You know, I just think back to, when was it, 2 years ago that the Bengals smashed the Steelers twice. And then last year, yes, Steelers won week one in Cincy, but keep in mind, took overtime to do it, took the bad snap to do it. T. Higgins got hurt early in that game with a back issue, so they didn't have their usual complement of three very difficult pass catchers to match up with. And then the second game, what was the final? It was like 37-30, but it wasn't really that close. The Bengals were up for two scores for most of it. So they've got to figure out a way to deal with that offense. And, yeah, at the same time, you know, the Ravens with their new pieces around Lamar have to figure out a way to kind of penetrate the Steelers' defense that has had a lot of answers for him over the last few seasons when they've played him. He's also been injured for a lot of those
games. He's been injured for a lot of those games. I think that's one of the bigger factors there. The only time Lamar Jackson's ever beaten the Steelers was when Devlin Hodges and Mason Rudolph were at quarterback. Everyone else.
Marlon Humphrey punched the ball out from Juju.
Exactly. That game back in 2019, that's the only time. Now, granted, the Ravens have won without him against the Steelers, including last year when Mitch Trubisky came in and threw three interceptions. But there's a lot of things there. We want to remind you, this show being sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, beers of the month they have from Union Brothers. Try out their Union Brothers Kolsch beer. It's a 4%. It's a great summer beer as a Kolsch. It's light. It's flowery. It'll be exactly what you need on a hot summer day. I know that we're breaking into September here, but it's supposed to get back up in the 90s. So if you're out here in the North Shore and you want to try a nice summer beer, come to Mike Beer Bar and try out their Union Brother Kolsch beer, which is part of their beers of the month here. Again, at Mike's Beer Bar, we're over 500 different available beers you can choose from. Brian, thinking about this, because like you brought up the Bengals, Joe Burrow's 3-2 against the Steelers lifetime. If you look at the starting record here, what's the best chance the Steelers have to contend with the Bengals this year? Is it that the offense is actually going to put up points? Because Kenny Pickett, those 30 points, I know that some of them, you know, you could say the last seven kind of came in garbage time, even though if they get the onside kick, they're still playing in that game. But you're looking at, they were able to put up points in that game with Kenny Pickett, and that was still at the early part of the second half of the season. And the defense did dominate in the first game in a lot of ways. What is the path, if you see a path to the Steelers banging with the Bengals later in the season? Because both of those games come in the second half of the season for the Steelers. What is the path for them doing that if they're going to be able to contend with them this year?
Certainly getting after Burrow like they did in the season opener last year. I mean, I think the Bengals O-line has made some improvements, especially getting Orlando Brown this offseason, but still a little bit suspect with their overall group there. They've got to do a better job of keeping him upright. But on the other side of the ball, yeah, I think you're on the right track there, Chris. You got to be able to score with them. You're only going to be able to hold down Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd so much over the course of four quarters, especially when you play them twice and make that eight quarters. So, you know, attack this, you know, reshuffled, retooled secondary that they've got. You know, they lost Jesse Bates and Von Bell, who were, you know, for all the talk of the offense against the Steelers, I mean, those two guys were thorns on the Steelers' side the last couple seasons. They made a lot of plays in those games, really the last 3 years. I think back to Von Bell in 2020. So, yeah, I mean, it's not going to be easy, but, you know, you've got to play good complementary football. That's not a matchup. It's like playing the Chiefs. It's like playing the Bills. Not a game where you can afford to have either side of the ball not carrying their weight.
Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit more about the NFL projections for the season as far as who to expect for different awards and who might step up in across the league this year. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break here of the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Brian Batko. But before we do that, I want to remind you this show is also sponsored by Savinus Cain & Gallucci, our mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Cain and Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co, where buying tickets for your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all your sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you, like a lot of the events here in the North Shore, where you can come to Mike's Beer Bar. They have killer deals on last-minute tickets, and their best price guarantee can't be beat. Just download the GameTime app right to your phone today, and you'll get exclusive flash deals on anything from football games, basketball games, baseball games, concerts, comedy, theater events, and more. And the GameTime guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets for the same event in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference of those price of that price. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to their website, GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Brian Bantko. While Brian's comfortably at home, I'm here at Mike's Beer Bar. I'm also comfortable. I love this place. This is like a second home for me. I come here so often to try out all their 500 different available beers. And when we talk about the 500 different available beers, I want to remind you, it's not just your typical beers like your IPAs or your pale ales. They have a lot of different flavors. And in fact, some of their beers of the month right now, yeah, from Union Brothers, a brewery they feature here this month, Double Sauced Watermelon Lemonade is a legitimate beer flavor. It's a sour beer. It's 8%. Also from Union Brothers here in Western PA. But it's a sour fruited beer. Brian, you and I tried this once, and it was kind of just, it caught us way off guard. But it was just a reminder of how different beer can be if you're not into those traditional styles.
Yeah. It was very tart. I like watermelon. I like a nice high ABV on that too. I think an 8%. So if you're really looking to get some bang for your buck without destroying your taste buds, that could be the right move for you.
Absolutely. And again, you can get that at Mike's Beer Bar here on the North Shore. We got one more beer we'll talk about on this show. But before we get to the beers, let's get to talking about some of these projections for the different awards that could be dealt out this year in the NFL. Brian, I look at how this could shape up this year. Let's lead with the MVP conversation. Now, it could be as simple as, well, Patrick Mahomes is going to win it because he's Patrick Mahomes. But who are the other candidates that you're looking at who could potentially win that award, steal that away from Patrick Mahomes this year?
So I've got a list of, I think I've got five guys here other than Mahomes. Because let's just be honest, this award is a quarterback award anymore.
It's a quarterback award,
yep. In the NFL. Like, you know me, Chris. Sometimes I like to be different. I try to get cute, and I can't even do that with NFL MVP at this point. So I'll start with a guy I already mentioned on the show, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
He needs no introduction from me, as Mike Tomlin would say. Jalen Hurts, the guy who played and lost against Patrick Mahomes last year in the Super Bowl, he just keeps getting better every season. I think his career trajectory is one that Kenny Pickett should try to be on. I guess we should all try to be on that. But Hurts is obviously a little different player, but the leap that he took from his first year as a starter to his second, that was huge for the Eagles, and it could position him to take home the biggest personal hardware this year. Then I've got three others in the AFC, Josh Allen with the Bills, as sloppy as he looked at times in that preseason game at Acrisure Stadium, you also still saw, the zip that he puts on the ball. The dude's just different with that. Not far behind him is Justin Herbert with the Chargers. As much as I will no longer be fooled by the Browns' belief, I can't quit the Chargers, Chris. Like, I just always
Why can't you? They do this every year.
I know, but I just always feel like they're going to get over the hump. Like, it's bad enough that I'm actually a Brandon Staley guy still. I'm clinging to that. But I really like Herbert. I'm sure I'm colored by what he did against the Steelers a couple years ago in that game. But I think he's legit. I have him as an MVP candidate. And then Lamar Jackson with the Ravens. I know that some people still doubt his ability as a pocket passer. I don't. I think he's way better than he gets credit for. His arm is a rocket, and I guess it just remains to be seen, is he still going to, one, be able to, and two, choose to run around and use his legs as much as he has in the past? If he does, he adds a different dimension than really any QB in the NFL. Maybe Justin Fields is on that level, but I still hesitate to say that. So
no,
one other dark horse.
Okay,
Trevor Lawrence from the Jaguars, I think.
So no Aaron Rodgers love from Brian Batko.
Not for MVP. I don't think that's how the Jets are going to try to operate this year. I mean, I think they could be good. I think I've seen enough on Hard Knocks. I've been brainwashed enough by that HBO show and the Jets and Rodgers being on there that I want to now sneak them in as a playoff team. But I don't think he's good enough anymore to put up MVP type stats again.
Let's talk about Defensive Player of the Year. T.J. Watt won this just 2 years ago. Was injured last year. The top six, as far as the odds makers saying for this award, are Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Nick Bosa, Aaron Donald, and then Ahmad Gardner. Brian, do you have any of those? Is there, if you were to pick two or three out of those, who would be your guys that you, that you're looking at are realistic potential winners of this award?
One guy that I'm surprised isn't on there is Max Crosby from the Raiders, but I would assume the odds makers are viewing that a little bit as like, are they going to be good enough for a guy to get that award? Probably not. Even if he has a standout. I'm going to pick Micah Parsons. You know,
okay.
I think this is his year to win it. I mean, he's just been so dominant his first two seasons. Now he's not dabbling as much in the off-ball linebacker stuff, and that should give him a chance to just pin his ears back and rack up sacks for a Cowboys team that on the flip side should end this season with a pretty good record and should have a pretty a schedule that's pretty light and gives him a lot of chances to just absolutely bull rush offensive linemen into oblivion and get some strip sacks, cause some turnovers, get a lot of takeaways, and you know, finally reach that level that he's been flirting with for a couple years now.
We got Rookie of the Year awards. I don't think the Steelers had some legitimate shots with Pickett and Pickens last year. It just didn't manifest itself early enough in the season. But this year, there's some interesting rookies who'll be out there and guys who should be starting. You got Bijan Robinson, running back with the Falcons, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, and C.J. Stroud, all quarterbacks in that mix. But also, Jahmyr Gibbs and Zay Flowers, a guy that the Steelers will face probably twice this season with the Ravens. Who's the guy that you're looking at here that you think could be the offensive rookie that takes over and maybe brings a lot of fantasy value to someone out there?
You mentioned him. I'm going to say Jahmyr Gibbs from the Lions, and partially due to what we saw from him at Alabama and before that in the ACC at Georgia Tech. But, you know, not just that, but also the amount that they invested in him. Nobody expected him to go as high as he did. What was he, 12th overall to Detroit? So clearly, they're going to use this guy and use him a lot, or else you don't spend that kind of draft capital on a running back. So I don't know that he's quite as good as Bijan Robinson in Atlanta, but I think the Lions are going to be a better team overall, which should give him a better opportunity to put up some nice statistics in his rookie season.
I hear you there. Defense.
I will give a shout-out, though, to Jordan Addison in Minnesota.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he's not beloved by Pitt fans anymore, but I think he could be ready to hit the ground running with Kirk Cousins in his rookie season.
There's still some love out there because he's made it clear that he still has a connection with Pitt. He's said H2P at the combine and everything like that. I think Pitt fans have kind of gotten away from their sour about him at USC a little bit there. I won't say it's completely gone. But let's look at defensive rookie of the year, guys. Guys, of course, Will Anderson, you know, a top defensive guy from the draft this year. Jalen Carter, Tyree Wilson, Devin Witherspoon, I think, could be an interesting pick. You also have Jack Campbell in the mix for that linebacker for the Lions. Also a high draft pick that people thought was a little higher. But then guys like Christian Gonzalez, a cornerback who the Steelers, if they had waited their turn, they probably could have just gotten him. They could have picked him with their trade-up situation. What is your outlook for who might win defensive rookie of the year?
So I kind of want to say Jack Campbell from the Lions, but I don't want to pick two Detroit guys. Although, I mean, both Jets players won it last year. So, I mean, that'd make it 2 years in a row that offensive and defensive rookie of the year come from the same team. That would be crazy. So Campbell's on my short list. Two guys that I really like, but I just don't think they're going to play enough in their defenses to do it. Will be Jalen Carter and Will McDonald, the pass rusher for the Jets out of Iowa State. But I think both of those will be rotational pieces. So that probably doesn't lend itself to putting up rookie of the year type numbers. So I'm just going to, you know, kind of do the no-brainer move here and go with Will Anderson from the Texans. He's going to play a ton for a bad team. He should get close to double-digit sacks. And, you know, he looked like an NFL player the last two seasons with Alabama, so that should translate very quickly to doing it at the NFL level.
Another team that could double up in these rookie awards is the Seattle Seahawks with Witherspoon and then Jackson Smith and Jigba on the offensive side of the ball. Could be interesting to see that. Last award I want to ask you about here, Coach of the Year. Last 4 years, you had Brian Daboll, who went 9-7-1 with the Giants, Mike Vrabel with the Titans, Kevin Stefanski with the Browns in 2020, and then John Harbaugh when the Ravens went 14-2 in 2019. Who are your top give me two guys that you're looking at as potential Coach of the Year awards here for this?
All right, I'll give you one from the AFC first. I'll say Doug Peterson if we think the Jaguars are gonna run roughshod over that division. I think they will. I think the AFC South is pretty weak, And, you know, we'll see if the guy you just mentioned, Mike Vrabel, has anything left in the tank for this Titans team in their window. But I think the Jaguars are going to be pretty tough. And, you know, if it's not Trevor Lawrence putting himself in the MVP race, maybe Doug Peterson gets it for having a really nice season with that team. But my pick, if I had to predict, is going to come from the NFC. And I'm not a betting man, but I would take the somewhat long odds on Dennis Allen. Who is Dennis Allen? He's the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, who are kind of my overall sleeper team in that conference this year. I think Derek Carr is going to have a nice bounce back season after everything he went through with the Raiders. And I think that defense is going to, you know, get some throwback the clock performances from guys like Cam Jordan, Demario Davis, and Dennis Allen would be the guy overseeing all of that. So he could easily be the first coach fired if things don't go well. But I'll go ahead and go out on a limb with him for coach of the year.
That's a very interesting pick. I would not have had the Saints on my radar at all for that award. I like Doug Peterson. He didn't win the award the first time around when he was building up the Eagles. So I think that's interesting. If he would get it for the Jacksonville, he certainly has proven to be a very effective NFL head coach. But I'm going to say this. I think this could be a year that Mike Tomlin gets on this list.
I was going to say, I figured if the Steelers have a good year, if they do, to bring it back to our opening segment, they do come in here and shock some people, he'll be right up there atop the list of candidates.
Because he's never won the award in all his time in the NFL. Even when he won a Super Bowl, they gave it to Mike Smith and the Atlanta Falcons for that season. So I look at that and I say, like, man, this could be Mike Tomlin's year to do it if the Steelers take a rise up, because I think a lot of people will acknowledge, like, hey, they have completed a rebuild in basically two seasons and they're back into contention. But to get there, they got to win games, and that starts with the San Francisco 49ers, which will be next weekend, not this weekend. It's the last weekend without NFL football. But we will have college football. Lots of great stuff we'll have here at the Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com, for all our content. We have West Virginia versus Penn State. We'll have coverage of that there. And myself and Noah Hiles will be at Pitt's home opener against Wofford this Saturday at Acrisure Stadium at 3:30. Make sure if you're coming to that game, you say hi to us. We don't bite. We're happy to chat with the fans. We appreciate it.
Noah might actually bite.
He might. You never know, because he can be a wild. He's the wild one of our college beat, the bad boy of the college beat, if you will, as he says. But of course, you can also catch us at Mike's Beer Bar after the game, because sometimes we'll come over here after we finished our stories, grab a post game brew, and check out all the different 500 available beers here with all the great options here at Mike's Beer Bar. So thanks again to everyone who's tuned in. Thanks again to Brian for joining me here on the Friday edition of the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Thanks again to tuning in to us on, remember, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. And remember, we got daily content coming out here with a lot of stuff rolling out with the season. So much, much more coming on the way here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the North Shore Drive podcast. We'll see you next week on Monday, gearing up for week one of the NFL season. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.